Dutchman Manufacturing, Mr. O'Leary.
Good morning. My name is Patrick O'Leary. I'm here on behalf of the appellant, Tina Mitchell. Your Honors, this case arises out of a factory in Goshen, Indiana. Ms. Mitchell was a cleaner on one of two production lines at the Dutchman plant. And the evidence was that as a cleaner, she basically did just that. The heaviest thing she had to lift was a small Eureka handheld vacuum cleaner. She used wipes to clean surfaces, and she used a broom. The record demonstrates that on June the 1st, she was given an FMLA-approved leave, and she returned about 5 weeks later on July the 8th. When she returned, she found that there were two new employees who had taken over her position. Their names were Elizabeth and Audrey. My client demanded that they restore her to her cleaning position. Instead, they gave her a modified position that involved the use of several hand-intensive tools. And those tools are photographed for your benefit, and they're in the record. According to Ms. Mitchell, 90% of her new duties involved using those tools. So she went from primarily a light cleaning position, using practically no tools at all, wiping down, light vacuuming, to using drill guns and caulk guns and crimpers. And she contended that was about 90% of her job responsibilities. The district court took issue with that estimate. The district court said, no, it looks more like you did these jobs 20 minutes per unit, and if you had 12 units, you did these jobs for 4 hours. And I would submit to your honors that, you know, if you do something new 12 times a day and it takes you 20 minutes, that's significant. And that's a factual issue of whether
something that takes 20 minutes a day is significant. Is that what you're saying?
Judge, 20 minutes per unit 12 times a day for 4 hours. That is significant. That
you
is
say 4 hours of the day she was doing something that she hadn't been doing in her before she was took leave. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
And was this more strenuous or what?
Absolutely more strenuous. Absolutely.
Okay.
So there was a factual issue, number one, whether these jobs were equivalent. And this is a fact-sensitive issue in FMLA area. Well, the appellee said, well, even if it was different, Ms. Mitchell would not have gotten her old job back anyway because we consolidated the two lines. And the record indicates that that consolidation occurred on June the 10th, 9 days after she went on leave. And she testified the women that had her position when she came back weren't there when she went on leave. So the inference is the appellee hired these two new employees to fill in for her while she was on leave. I mean, clearly a company who's going to shut down half their production isn't hiring new people. This was a temporary assignment. And they admitted as much in their affidavit, in the affidavit of Hank Johnson, which is found at 48 of the record. This is the man who took their position on consolidation. He said, when plaintiff left for leave in May 2002, that was incorrect, Dutchman assigned her cleaning responsibilities to Audrey Reynolds. So clearly what you have is someone who was temporarily hired to fill in for her and then given her job instead of giving it back to the plaintiff. So we have a phony, we have a pretext in this case. In addition, the evidence articulating the consolidation defense was by Hank Johnson, as I indicated. And Mr. Johnson testified in his deposition 2 days before the close of discovery that he had no knowledge about the consolidation itself. He didn't say he once had knowledge, but then forgot about it. He said he never knew about the setup of these two lines. And then discovery ended 2 days later. And then the defendant tenders his affidavit describing the consolidation, describing who worked where and where they went. We argued to the district court judge. The guy says he never knew. You know, 2 days before discovery, I take his deposition. He didn't know. And then they file a summary judgment motion. He's signing an affidavit setting out the details of the consolidation. The district court got it wrong. There were factual issues, not only on the issue of equivalency, but on the issue of this consolidation explaining the reason for her not getting her job back. The district court erred.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Leary. Mr. Simon?
May it please the court. My name is Kevin Simon. I'm here on behalf of Dutchman Manufacturing Incorporated. The district court properly granted Dutchman's motion for summary judgment because no genuine issues of fact existed. On two separate and independent bases, the district court properly found that plaintiff did not offer evidence sufficient to establish that Dutchman failed to restore her. Those independent bases were, one, that her post-FMLA leave duties and responsibilities were not equivalent to her pre-leave job duties and responsibilities, and two, that changes in her job responsibilities, if any, would not have occurred if she had not taken FMLA leave. With respect to the first basis, the equivalency analysis, the FMLA specifically provides that an eligible employee who takes leave under the FMLA shall be entitled to, among other things, to be restored to the equivalent position with equivalent employment benefits, pay, and other terms and conditions of employment. The sole equivalency issue in this case revolved around plaintiff's pre- and post-leave responsibilities, as it is uncontested that before and after her leave, she was a production associate in the final finish department, and that she enjoyed the same rate of pay, benefits, privileges, and status. After painstakingly reviewing the evidentiary record, including plaintiff's deposition testimony, setting forth a minute-by-minute analysis and breakdown of her pre- and post-leave responsibilities, the district court properly determined that the record did not support a finding that her post-leave duties and responsibilities weren't substantially similar to her pre-leave responsibilities and duties. Before and after her FMLA leave, plaintiff was a production associate with duties in the final finish department, which involved cleaning and finalizing RVs for shipment to retailers. Mitchell's alleged cleaner job did not metamorphose into some dissimilar production job, where the evidence is that pre-leave, she cleaned, she swept, she applied stickers, and loaded cranks. Whereas post-leave, she cleaned, she swept, she caulked. She inserted about 6 screws per RV, applied stickers, and loaded cranks. The district court correctly concluded and determined that summary judgment in favor of Dutchman was warranted, as the unrebutted evidence established that Dutchman restored her to an equivalent position with the substantially similar responsibilities involving the same level of skill, effort, responsibility, and authority. In addition, regardless of whether the restored position was an equivalent one, the substantive right to reinstatement is not absolute. This court has previously held that when an employee alleges that the employer interfered with her substantive rights under the FMLA, that employee is required to establish by preponderance of the evidence that she is entitled to the benefits she claims. In fact, this court has said an employee always has the burden of establishing the right to the entitlement. Significantly, in her appeal, plaintiff does not argue or even allege that her job would not have changed if she had not taken FMLA leave. Instead, she contends that Dutchman was obligated to justify its alleged failure to restore her by proving that the position would have been eliminated anyway. Plaintiff maintains that Dutchman's June 2002 consolidation explanation is suspect and ultimately a pretext. And to this end, plaintiff talks a lot about alleged discovery abuses or late tendering of information, and he argues that that supports an inference of pretext in connection to the FMLA failure to restore claim. Plaintiff's argument is inappropriate and most specifically wrong for the following 3 reasons. One, the district court, in response to a slew of motions by plaintiff, ruled that, quote, Ms. Mitchell's claim that Dutchman withheld information is without merit, close quote. And the court went on to deny all of her discovery motions. Plaintiff has not appealed that ruling. Therefore, it's inappropriate for her on appeal to contend that Dutchman committed any discovery abuses. Secondly, plaintiff's request that an evidentiary inference be drawn was also waived, as plaintiff filed a series of discovery motions, but she never filed a discovery motion seeking that inference, yet she asked this court to draw it. She has waived that argument. Third, plaintiff's requested pretext inference is legally and procedurally defective. Assuming arguendo that any alleged discovery abuse supports an inference of pretext, this court repeatedly has observed that in the context of an alleged violation of the substantive provisions of the FMLA, proof of pretext is neither necessary or sufficient to show a violation of the statute. The McDonnell-Douglas concept of pretext has no application in a failure to restore claim, and plaintiff's requested pretext inference cannot salvage her otherwise legally and factually deficient failure to restore claim. Moving on to her alleged second FMLA claim, which involves a retaliation allegation, plaintiff has waived this issue for purposes of appeal. The court, in a very detailed and careful, methodical way, in approximately 6 pages of analysis, analyzed in over 15 cases, determined that plaintiff had failed to establish an FMLA retaliation claim because she had not established a prima facie case. She had not established, one, that she suffered an adverse employment action, or two, that there was any causal connection between Dutchman's actions and her FMLA leave. On appeal, Mitchell purports to challenge this ruling in a two-paragraph argument, which is really, save for three minor word changes, nothing more than a cut and paste from her response to Dutchman's motion for summary judgment. Pursuant to this court's well-established waiver doctrine, Mitchell waived review for two separate and independent reasons. Mitchell does not allege anywhere in her argument that the district court erred when it dismissed her retaliation claim. In fact, Mitchell's appellate argument on this matter does not even mention in passing her prima facie case or the district court's ruling on the subject. Mitchell has not preserved this issue for this court. Second, even if Mitchell preserved any argument concerning any alleged constructive discharge, she failed to challenge the district court's alternative ground for granting summary judgment, causal connection. Mitchell has therefore waived any review of any claim of error before this court. Moreover, even if this court wanted to ignore waiver and consider the issue, the district court properly found that there was no evidence that plaintiff suffered any adverse employment action, be it constructive discharge, hostile work environment. Further, the court properly found that plaintiff failed to establish any evidence of causal connection between any alleged adverse employment action and her FMLA leave. The district court specifically found, this is a quote from the opinion, none of Ms. Mitchell's proffered reasons for having resigned reveal conditions that have anything to do with her previous leave. Her leave was not for treatment of carpal tunnel or any physical injury. It was for treatment of depression and anxiety, and she returned to work without any restrictions. She hasn't presented any evidence to suggest any discrimination based on that leave. As Mitchell, and that's the end of the quote, as Mitchell failed to establish evidence sufficient to support even a prima facie case of FMLA retaliation, the district court properly entered summary judgment in favor of Dutchman. Dutchman respectfully requests that this court affirm the decision of the trial court.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Simon. Mr. O'Leary, how much time does he have? 3 minutes.
Your Honors, as the Seventh Circuit has indicated, a claim of pretext looks to the sincerity of the employer's explanation. That was said in Gordon versus United Airlines. Look at the sincerity. We serve an interrogatory on them, which they answer on July the 7th, approximately 6 weeks before the close of discovery, and we ask them, why didn't you restore? And they said, well, we didn't restore because we consolidated these two lines. And I followed up with an interrogatory in that set that said, all right, tell me who was consolidated. Tell me the names of the employees.
It says you've waived this argument.
Your Honor, I have not waived it. We made that argument at the district court level, and we've made it in our brief. I don't understand his argument that I waived it. We've made this argument consistently, that the defendant stonewalled us in this information, and the court should look at that as one factor in the sincerity of this defense. We asked for the information. They didn't give it to us. We sent three letters repeating our request. They were ignored. We took the depositions of three management witnesses 3 days before discovery ended. None of them knew the details of the consolidation. Discovery ended. And then they tender the affidavit of one of those management witnesses describing the consolidation. That alone should cast doubt on the veracity of that defense. But there's more. Put aside that issue of pretext. Their own evidence demonstrates that the plaintiff was replaced by a temporary worker who was hired while she was out on leave. They have not complied with the law in giving my client her job back. They gave it to this fill-in who was hired solely to replace her while she was on leave. Pretext aside, their own evidence demonstrates that she did not lose the job because of the consolidation. She lost the job because they gave it to a temporary worker. That is not complying with the FMLA. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Both parties. And the